This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by a brilliant emergency room physician, at least by background, Dr. David Custodio. Dr. Custodio is going to talk about his role today, where he's most focused, what advice he has for emerging physician leaders and others. Dr. Custodio, can you take a moment, tell us about you, yourself, your role today, and where you're focused?
Super. Yeah, thank you for having me, Scott. I really appreciate it. A little bit about me. I'm a local boy. I grew up right in this area and have lived here almost my entire life other than school and training. I joined Akron City Hospital back in the late 80s where I did my training as an emergency physician and practiced for about 25 years in the emergency room here at Akron City and some local hospitals. Over those years, have had increasing administrative responsibility over quality, et cetera. Went back and did a little additional training and received an MBA. And for the last 5 years, I'm serving in my current role as the president of the Akron and St. Thomas campuses for SUMA Health System here in Akron, Ohio.
That's phenomenal. And talk for a moment about going back to get your MBA. Did you do it part-time at night? How did you do that? And how helpful was that in terms of just sort of further forming your thoughts on leadership, allowing you to reflect on leadership? How did that, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I had decided to get the MBA when I was working still full-time administratively as a vice president of medical affairs, chief medical officer in that line of work, and then was also still working half-time clinically, nights and weekends included. So I wanted to do maybe an executive MBA, but since I was working every other weekend and that would have taken another weekend out of my life, I said I could afford the tuition, but not the alimony. So I elected to do asynchronous training for the MBA, which worked out very well. Took me a little bit of time, but absolutely loved the course or the courses.
And that's a fascinating choice and perspective and very well put. Better to stay married and do asynchronous than to get divorced and go full time someplace. Very smart.
Exactly.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Gifted thinking. Talk about your transition from sort of practice as an ER physician back in the day to leadership and what that transition and evolution was like.
Yeah, great. Happy to do that. It has been very interesting. You know, what you find if you're going to be a physician leader, first you have to develop yourself and be respected clinically. And that allows you to start taking on more and more roles and things along those lines. But what I tell folks is, as they're physician leaders, those skills that made you a good clinician, especially in the ED, may not be the exact same skills, or in fact, aren't the same skills that'll help you be successful in a C-suite. So, you know, in the emergency department, we make decisions based on limited information, not a lot of consensus. Sometimes you have to decide what's going to be done much more quickly, given the urgency of the situation. But as you transform into, a leader in the C-suite or elsewhere, you know, you have to learn to make those decisions in a different manner and build consensus, things along those lines. And I think that was a lot of the things that I learned as I've done more training and moved away from the clinical setting. Those skills still are helpful, being resourceful and working through problems, but you just have to deploy them a little differently.
But that is an absolutely fascinating perspective and a lot of ways. First, you said something about if you want to be good in leadership, somehow or another, you've got to have your credibility at your initial job or whatever you did to sort of earn your way into leadership. So you got to be credible clinically and have done a nice job there. Second, there's this concept of sort of fast thinking in the ER, and you have to do fast thinking, particularly in certain situations. Other times you get a little more time to look at tests, look at other kinds of things, but there is a premium on sort of fast thinking with relatively limited information, at least in the short term. In leadership, there's this concept of this ability to think fast and slow, to slow down a little bit, to be a little bit more deliberate, and rather than you and a patient making a decision, you and a nurse and a patient make a decision. Now you've got decisions that are going to cascade into lots of different people. So you've got to have this fast and slow decision-making and also the ability to communicate and build consensus because other people are going to carry those decisions out. It's not going to be just you and the nurse. It's going to be a much broader scale type of thing. It's a fascinating perspective, Dr. Custodio, and I love that. any between the MBA program, authors on leadership, thinkers on leadership, any that particularly you that resonate with you or you think about that have been part of your formative thinking about things?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There are a few things. Obviously, you know, you have to be, one of the things I learned is you have to be a good listener. And as physicians, we're trained to solve problems very quickly and treat. But what I found is as I progressed through these roles, that being a good listener is just key to success. And that helps you, you know, formulate those relationships, change management, and help to guide folks, you know, working collaboratively, you know, to the solutions that we need to handle, you know, what healthcare keeps throwing at us. And the other thing you have to realize is you can't control what's going to happen. We can't control what happens, you know, with the pandemic coming at you, or if you get a bad break. The only thing you can control is how you respond to that. And you have to look at those as opportunities versus roadblocks. What I've told some folks along the way is, you know, for every mountain that's in front of you, once you get over that, there are more mountains behind it. And so we just have to be prepared to address those concerns as they come along, take our learnings and you know, apply those to the next mountain or obstacle as it comes along.
It's a great perspective. And talk about, you know, besides the Akron Zips, right? Is it the Zips of the local team?
Yeah, the Zips at Akron U, correct.
So besides the excitement about the Akron Zips, what are you most, when you look at this year, we've been sort of coming out of the pandemic. There's another pandemic, sort of mental health and behavioral health issues. Your area of the world has been hit hard by the opioid pandemic and behavioral health issues. When you look at this year and moving forward, where are you most focused and excited currently?
You know, we are excited and have always been excited about really being engaged with our patients and our employees. And you know, our board is challenged us to look at, you know, consumerism in healthcare, as we all are. And we're very much excited about that. You know, and like any other healthcare system at this time, you know, we're focused on operations. This has been an extremely challenging year, as I'm sure you are aware.
100%. And talk a little bit about, you've had this great career. I mean, what a wonderful career. From doctor to leader to president of two hospital campuses there in the SUMA system, a great system. What advice do you give to emerging leaders? What do you tell emerging leaders about careers, leadership, how they approach things? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I hearken back to, you know, really working on your ability to listen. That is key. The other thing, and I say it not infrequently, is work hard and be nice. I was told by a hospital leader a few years back, you know, it doesn't cost anything to smile. And, you know, if we can work collaboratively and have an enjoyable workplace, even though the work is very challenging, I would say these last couple of years, I tell my boss that wasn't in the brochure when I took this role. But we found a way to work through it collaboratively, both within our system and with other health systems. And so, you know, that's what I would focus on.
It just is a great attitude. Anything that you've not had a chance to touch on today that you'd love to share with our listeners?
You know, I think that this opportunity is great. You know, one of the things that we wanted to do to talk about a little bit about our engaging our patients and engaging our employees is, you know, we wanted to make sure that our patients and visitors were able to have a pleasant experience either prior to arriving or arriving at our campus. And that's where we went with our digital wayfinding. And I think that was a strategy that helped our patients and it helped our employees who, you know, were taking care of those patients and visitors.
And take one moment around what that is and how that works.
Sure. One of the challenges many healthcare systems have are wayfinding, correct? And our campus now is with the medical office buildings and hospitals is about 2 million square feet just on the Akron campus alone. And as we changed the layout of our campus, we actually changed our main entrance. And that led to a great deal, as you can imagine, of confusion, not only for our patients and visitors, but even our employees who were trying to assist patients and visitors as they entered our campus. So we partnered and found a teammate that helped us design a wayfinding system that has three prongs. The first is on the website prior to arrival, where a patient or family member can put in the room number of the patient they're coming to visit. The website will give them directions to the correct nearest parking lot. And not only that, it'll give them walking directions once they arrive to find that room or patient visitor desk. The other prong is that of a handheld device that it actually is, you know, for your phone on the iPhone or other platforms. That is not unlike Google Maps. You put in, you know, the destination. If you're at the hospital and you put in you want to go to the cafeteria, it'll give you a blue dot walking directions and walk you through the campus to get you there. And then lastly, there's a kiosk component for those who want to use it, touch screen, and you can print out directions, walking directions, either from the main lobby to the cafeteria or one of our restaurants or patient rooms or doctor's offices. And what we found is that has been extremely satisfying for our patients, as well as our employees who, you know, we always will have that human touch, but it's also helpful to know that our patients are going to get to see us on time and that, and we can assist them getting to where they need to be.
That's phenomenal. It's so interesting because my parents were just at one of the health systems here and, you know, they were overnight for a few nights. And I cannot tell you what a struggle it was, at least until we got used to it, to figure out our way to navigate through the hospital. It seemed so simple, and it wasn't that big a building, but it was challenging, very challenging. So the name of the company or product again, David, Dr. Custodio, if you don't mind just sharing that with the listeners.
Sure, that's Purple is our company that partnered with us to do this.
Phenomenal. Thank you so much, and thank you for joining us. What an incredible story of leadership and growth of a career. Thank you very much for taking the time to stay on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, Dr. Custodio. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.